my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it's a Patreon pick, our good friend Justin, and we're going back to 1996. It stars Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, and Mr. James Caan. So we are going to be watching Bottle Rocket, Dave. So do you know anything about this? Had you heard of this before Justin picked it?
Never heard of it at all. And I realise this is an early kind of film for Wes Anderson.
Yes.
Who, you know, I think, Wes Anderson, the legendary Wes Anderson. And I always think, what the fuck did Wes Anderson do again? And then I'm looking and I'm like, oh, right. So he did Rushmore. I think I watched that back in the day. And then there's other things like the Royal Tenenbaums that he's done that didn't really like. Fantastic Mr. Fox did like that one, to be fair. But he's kind of a name that I think, I don't know if I'm confusing him with Wes Craven or something. I always think of him in my head as this legendary director. And I'm sure to a lot of people he is. But to me, like, he's not done anything that massively resonates with me at all. But yeah, so that's about the only thing, Chris. A feeling that I know Wes Anderson, but don't really like any of his movies. What about yourself?
Never. No, I'd said it last week when we had the trailer. The trailer looked really interesting, and I know we'll get into that in a minute. But I just thought, you know what? This looks like the sort of movie I probably would have rented around this time. Why wasn't I watching it? You know, why didn't it even come across? I think it was a massive flop, wasn't it? It was shown in limited cinemas around the world, especially in the UK and Scotland and that. It wasn't shown a lot. So we probably wasn't even on a VHS release. Or if it was, it was maybe one copy in Blockbuster in the fucking 50p section or something like that. So that's probably why we've never heard of it. And I haven't even heard of it like when people talk about Owen Wilson. Even though apparently, Dave, Martin Scorsese, I don't know how his scoring system means. I know it's Martin Scorsese, but why it's relevant. But apparently it's number 7 on his scoring system for greatest movies of the 90s. Number 7, Dave. I don't know what's on the list. I maybe look who's talking's there, vice versa. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, they were the 80s, actually, I think. But anyway, but you know, I don't know what's on his list, but that's number 7. It just seems very weird to have a specific number.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, it's one of his favorite 90s movies.
Oh, very good. Very good. I mean, I think, you know, James Caan is obviously in this one, and probably around this time I'd watch Misery. I think that would have been before this one. That's the only other thing that comes to mind. Honestly, this week, Chris, not a lot indeed. And I when we watched the trailer last week, I thought, oh, fucking hell, this is going to be interesting. And like Owen Wilson, I can't remember what the first thing I saw Owen Wilson in was, but with the long hair and everything,
yes,
and the laid back attitude. And at this point, he hasn't discovered the wow, you know, kind of thing. So I thought he was a great looking dude, had such great energy, you know, that chilled kind of vibe that he had that you know he repeated many times over. But here it's like a different Owen Wilson, isn't it? It's like he's just come out of the army or something, you know, just come out of Full Metal Jacket training school. So I was really interested to watch it and just see kind of how it you know how his career had developed in this early stage. And so I was interested to look at it, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think it is actually his and his brother's acting debuts, isn't it? This film was spawned off a 15-minute short movie.
Yeah.
That's why it ended up, the rewrites, everything. I read a great thing, actually, when he said he was contemplating, you say about like coming out of the army, he was actually going to go in the Marines because he said this movie tanked. And he was like, he thought, this isn't for me. I'm going to fucking go. But what was really funny was he got paid first class to go to rewrite the movie with like Wes Anderson and everything. And he tried to fucking sell the ticket back to get the difference in the money and going like economy. And they were like, no. Because he thought, I'll take the money. He was that skin. Anyway, he had to go first class because all it would have happened was they just refunded the card. He thought he was going to get like a couple of grand in his back pocket. So he was a bit of a scammer then. So yeah, it's interesting. I think, to be fair, and we'll talk about this, is I think this was more a device for Luke Wilson. And I think maybe over the years it's become Owen Wilson's like breakout thing. But Luke Wilson, his brother, he's a lot better looking, isn't he? I mean, he's got a snoz on him, Owen, and that coming from me, Dave, you know what I mean? Which has become, he's actually become his party piece, I think, in movies, hasn't he? He gets away with it with that nose. But yeah, Luke Wilson's definitely the better looking.
Fair enough. Well, on that bombshell, Chris, should we get into our review?
Let's go.
Preparation was good, you know? I think that's your specialty.
Thank you, because if I said that one, it would sound like bragging. Obviously good quickness.
Yeah, in and out pretty fast.
Real fast. Including the coin collection and the earrings.
You took the earrings, Dignan?
I bought the earrings for my mother on her birthday.
Maybe we should have robbed your house. You ever think of that?
Three outstanding young men.
Well, come on, baby, and rock with me tonight.
Bob Mapplethorpe, potential getaway driver. Go.
I really want to be a part of this team. And I'm the only one with a car. That's good. That's good. Because that hits me right here.
I'm Anthony. You speak English?
It's amazing how close you can get to a girl when you're not allowed to talk to her.
And my name's Dignan, man.
You in the army, yes?
No, I just had short hair.
We are a team.
I can't focus unless the gun is on the table.
We just paid for it.
Shut up, man. We don't settle our problems with hugs, man. We settle them with bare knuckles.
All they ever wanted was to be wanted.
What are you putting that tape on your nose for?
Exactly.
Let's get lucky. Just do exactly as I say. Let's move. Come on.
Get one of those bags.
A bigger one, you idiot. What do you think?
Don't call me an idiot, you punk.
Do you have bigger bags for atlases or dictionaries, sir?
I'll tell you something, kid. You've got the guts of a damn lion.
That is Mr. Henry.
Hey, Henry, how are you?
He is a very talented thief.
Hey!
Just kidding.
I don't know. Are you in?
I really don't want to do this robbery, you know.
Man, neither do I.
You're breaking his heart. You know that, don't you? Huh?
What were you thinking?
They're going to keep on trying.
Got it, ma'am. We know it backwards and we know it forwards because we've done the legwork and we've done the research.
Until they get it right.
What are you doing here? You're always at lunch now.
Not always.
Yes, always. Bob? Stop, go.
On the run from Johnny Law.
Did he give you the keys? Did he give you the keys?
Pole vaulting, laughing gas, choppers. Can you see how incredible this is going to be? Excuse me. Are the explosives really necessary?
In Arizona, Dignan rescues his friend Anthony from a voluntary psychiatric unit, where he's been staying for self-described exhaustion. Dignan has an elaborate escape plan and has developed a 75-year plan that he shows to Anthony. The plan is to pull off several heists and then meet up with Mr. Henry, a landscaper and part-time criminal known to Dignan. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
It's fucking garbage, Dave, I'll be honest with you. we'll go straight in. I've not said that for ages. I don't know. I found it a really hard watch. Like, you know, it runs for 91 minutes, which is the classic sweet spot for a VHS throwaway movie. I don't know. I couldn't buy into what was going on. And he does say, whoa, in this one, Dave. It's his first movie, but it wasn't the whoa, you know, like he normally says. He does say it in this movie at some point. However,
that's a Keanu Reeves. It's not a whoa, it's a wow.
A wow, that's it. Sorry, a whoa. Yeah, sorry, whoa, you're right. Wow. That's it, a wow, sorry. Anyway, I don't know. I can't honestly say I understood what was actually going on in the movie. I felt that, and this is reviewed so highly, Dave, like this is like fucking really high scores. I don't know. I came away from watching it like, what's just happened? You know, we were saying last week about fucking Jimmy Kimmel. I meant fucking Jimmy Fallon, didn't I? But it isn't Jimmy Fallon. I got that wrong last week. We were saying like what the other guy was, the third wheel in the movie.
Oh, people are going to be fucking sat at home, okay. Like,
yeah.
Because I didn't pick you up on it either.
No,
It wasn't even him, was it? Jimmy Fallon?
No, it wasn't.
If you stood a mile away squinting, maybe he looks a little bit like him, but...
Maybe like me with Patrick Swayze, Dave, you know what I mean? I've still got it. But anyway, people said it to me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me making... I've had a few people say, look like Swayze back in the day, Dave, you know.
Not when you do the reface.
Fuck you. Like Jennifer Grey.
Is still the greatest one.
Close.
Yeah, close to Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey. I could be both characters. I could be Johnny and Baby. Could have. I'm fucking Dirty Dancing. But anyway... but yeah, I don't know. I can't work out. I think it's shot well. I think the idea of it should work and I should enjoy it. I really like the look of the trailer, but I just wasn't convinced. And I think Luke Wilson's pushed as the main star, as I said before the trailer. I don't know. I can't. I mean, what did you think of the start of the day? Because I come away, there was more questions than anything.
Yeah, I think this has that real... independent movie feel to it, doesn't it? You know, the way it's not particularly funny. There's not a lot going on. I think it flopped for a reason. You know, it cost $5 million. It made about $500,000. I just, you can kind of get why it wasn't an instant success. But I think camera wise, the cinematography to it, the different shots that he's got in there, I think you can see visually there's some interesting things going on there. But in terms of the actual plot, the actual story, I'm sure we've said in the past, you know, we do like story, and there's just not that much of it going on here. You know, it's like, okay, he's put himself in this psychiatric unit. And his mate's trying to break him out. You know, it's almost as if it's trying to be a Jim Carrey movie or something like that. It's like, oh, look, Owen Wilson, he's a bit nuts, isn't he? You know, he's trying to break him out. He's going, ca-ca! You know, he's doing that sort of thing where he's got this ridiculous plan. And, like, you know, he's coming out of the psychiatric unit. The doctor's like, you know, you can just walk out. You know, but he's like, no, it'll break his heart if I don't go there. I'm like, well, okay, interesting. Where is this going? But, you know, for a long time, just didn't really go anywhere for me. But, like I say, I think visually, you can see why. So someone's probably watched this and thought, okay, there's enough going on here. So critically, I could see why it more resonates with people. But yeah, that kind of indie feel to it, not for me.
No, it's weird, isn't it? Because like I've got a few indie ones in my back pocket that I know it's my pick soon, but in about half an hour. That's how soon it is. It's weird because I can't understand even with the dialogue what they're trying to do. Like they've got a 75-year plan. Are they going to live till 101 or something? You know, it's like it's a weird thing to do, and obviously...
I think the 75-year plan, they're just trying to convey that, like, Owen Wilson's character, he's a bit kooky, isn't he? He's like, it's ridiculous, because people all have, like, a 5-year or a 10-year or 20-year plan or something like that. It's, I'm going to save as much money as possible and retire early, or, you know, I'm going to make... CEO of a company or whatever your plan is, but you know he's making a 75-year-old plan, and like you say, chances are he's probably fucking dead. But you know, because he's a bit wacky, he's a bit nuts. That's funny, isn't it?
No, it's not. I mean, the thing that gets me right, the first heist is like a fucking bookstore for. They've got them Robbie Fowler patches over the noses that you spend the night is making breathe better. Like, they're not going to know.
It was 1996, Chris.
Well, maybe they were Liverpool fans then, Dave. Obviously, the 96, the most successful team wasn't Liverpool. thankfully. But not that I'm living in the past these days, but there you go.
We want to talk about football, do we?
No, we don't. We don't.
Oh, right. I get it. We want to talk about 1996
football. Yeah, FA Cup final, the double-double. Anyway, I was watching it in Benidorm in a bar day, but there you go. So, no, I found that bizarre. Like, you know, Luke Wilson's got this floppy model-like hair. They put these fucking plasters over the nose. And then I think the joke is they break into this bookstore, don't they? They come in and the guy who runs it tells him off for being rude and he backs down. And I'm like, and we saw that in the trailer and I was like, okay, it's a bookstore. So they go on the run now, but it's like, but you've not wore a ski mask. You've not wore any sort of fucking balaclava. There's no, it's like, they're going to know who you are. Pretty fucking obviously. And
I guess the Robbie Fowler nose strip is the disguise, isn't it? And that hadn't occurred to me until you just said it there. That's the joke, I guess, you know, that they haven't got. I mean, to be fair, even if they'd put tights on, I always think, well, it still looks like you, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
but maybe the nose strip was supposed to be their misguided attempt at a disguise.
Maybe with me, David, you squash mine, it'd be like, hey, there's a guy there, he's got a small nose, and then
hold
you
on,
come and see
hold
me.
Hold on, let me get the mask in tape, or the big fucking...
The big fucking...
Gaffer tape.
Yeah,
duct tape, that's it, that's the right tape.
He's got a massive, like, 2-inch piece of grey figure across his nose, yeah. Anyway, I'm actually going to piss out my fucking self now, but yeah, the context of it is maybe it's one of them where it's a nod to the audience, like how stupid these heist movies can be, because they're very distinctive, all three of them, aren't they? Because someone even comments on Owen Wilson's haircut, like, you just come out the army sort of thing. And it's like, no, I've got short hair. You know, so, but then we get this love story where, you know, Luke's character, Anthony, he ends up with this beautiful maid, Dave. How many fucking maids have we ever seen? I mean, I've seen him in certain movies, but they're not the sort of one you can find on Google fucking just from looking, usually, straight away. But, you know, the old, oh my God, I've got stuck in the washing machine. Oh my God, are you okay? Next minute, Dave, you know, it all allegedly from what I've heard. or the garbage. Machine. Have you ever seen them ones?
Or under the table. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Under the table. Oh my God, your father's out. You know, my stepmother gets stuck on the table. And he's like, how have you got stuck under there? And you can clearly get out. And the son fucking turns in like, oh, hi, stepmother. Oh my God, I won't help you.
It's completely normal to climb into the washing machine. Oh, I'm stuck.
I'm seeing the people taking the piss out of stuff like on TikTok, you know, like where fucking woman's there in the washing machine and the bloke's like, oh my, and he's like, this is my chance. And she's like, fuck off, you know, leave it alone. But honestly, them fucking scenes are classic. There's one I allegedly saw where she got a hand stuck in a garbage compactor in America. Obviously, they have them, don't they? It's like, well, that'll shred your fucking hand. Yeah. Instead of like thinking, oh my God, she's going to be decapitated. No, I tell you what, I'll just slip her one and it'll take her mind off the fact. Yeah, it might give her some lubrication to get out, you know. These are all allegedly stuff I've come across, Dave, at some point in my career. But anyway, moving quickly on, my career and fucking wanky career is synonymous with this podcast. Synonymous with this podcast. Let's move swiftly on. But yeah, this is like love story going on. She's absolutely stunning, you know, and then he even gets someone to translate. I found that very bizarre. And obviously by the end of like this whole interaction, he's sort of given her the money. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, she gives Owen Wilson a bit of a look at one point. I'm thinking, oh, hang on a minute. Is she after him as well? But they're not. It's part of the, I couldn't work it out. I don't know. It's a very, when you read the synopsis, which I've got in front of me, it makes sense. But when I'm watching it on the screen, it didn't make sense. And it just feels like you said about the Jim Carrey reference, great. That's a great reference. It's like, Owen Wilson rewrote the script, and it's like he's rewrote the script as if it's a showcase for his talent over anybody else in the movie and even the story. And that's how I feel. I think there's just too much of him at times.
Yeah. He meets his sister, doesn't he, initially? Yes. And she's all embarrassed about him because he checked into a psychiatric home. And again, it's just... I think the way they handle mental health, you know, is interesting, isn't it? Because it's the mid-90s. bit funny, you know, stick him in the nut house kind of thing. So that was interesting. But yeah, I agree. When the maid comes on screen in absolute crisp white gear, and it's like, okay. And I thought she was going to kind of be a bit freaked out by him. But then I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's the mid-90s. Let's create this character that just creepily follows her around at work. And she's like, oh, you're so horny. You're so sexy. And, so I thought she was going to, like, just be freaked out by him. But, no, she ends up taking a shine to him. But then again, I think when – I mean, he's there in his dressing gown and stuff. And he's following her around at work. And then, but she's just walking into rooms where people are, and then he's walking in and like fluffing up the pillows and stuff
in his dressing gown.
In his dressing gown, and you're sort of thinking, you know, if you're there, you'd be like, "Who the fuck are you? Fuck off, get out of my room." I mean, even the maid, it's like, "Look, can you give us 10 minutes? We'll get out of the room and let you do your thing." Like, but you know, I found that weird. And again, it's just there's something slightly off for me about the comedy. Now, other people could watch it. Say like when it showed you Dumb and Dumber and I was fucking crying at all the jokes and stuff, and you're like watching it for the first time and like, it's not that funny. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. And I remember having that same feeling the first time I watched it as well. It was like moderately funny for me. But then I watched it more and more, and then it just grew on me, and it became one of my favorite movies. But this one, I just feel like it's trying to be funny, but just not really landing for me at all. And after, you know, he follows her around a bit. I mean, it does escalate pretty quickly, doesn't it? You know, he gets a bit in his room, and then he's kind of inviting the family in and stuff. And I guess, you know, you've got this window into this poorer life, haven't you? You know, so, you know, they're not there. She's not a maid because, you know, she saw herself doing that for a career. You know, she's trying to support her family by the looks of it. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting more than actually funny.
Yeah, and by the end of this day, and I completely agree with that, completely agree, is she tells him she loves him. I mean, he does give her a wad of cash, which sort of, you know, Dignan doesn't realize he's handing over the fucking
house.
You think
she'll love him long time?
Well, allegedly. But yeah, you know, it's like love and all this. And I've got to say, Dave, she's supposed to be Puerto Rican. She's the most un-Puerto Rican looking lady I've ever seen. She's actually Mexico. I'm looking at her now, actually, but she doesn't look Mexican or Puerto Rican. She doesn't look Latino. Not in my eyes, Dave. Latino for me was always be that Salma Hayek and some of the search engine stuff that I've looked at over the years. But anyway, I don't know. I agree. There's something slightly off about that whole love thing, because it's not like they're there for weeks. This relationship, as you said, it escalates within about 24 hours, and she's totally in love with him. And obviously, Dignan doesn't pass the message on from the translator. So they then end up in this, I mean, Dignan's going around this little town as well, robbing cars. So he ends up in this 2-seater bloody, it's like an MG, I think, or something like that. And it's a shithole, and they break down. And that's when we get this whole thing about, like, they've lost, he's given her the money, and he ends up punching him, doesn't he, and stuff. And it's like, what's going on? And then there's a time lapse after this where they've stopped speaking to each other. I don't know. And he starts up a grass cutting fucking firm. Just like, weird. Why would you know, they sort of make it up pretty quick as well, don't they? Like, they've had this big, like, thing where you'd be like, well, fuck you then. I'm not speaking to you again, you idiot. You know, blah, blah, blah. I could have been arrested, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's strange because Bob's already left. He's already accused Bob of fucking robbing all the stuff. And then Anthony, you know, Luke's character's like, no, he's gone home. His brother's been dumb because he's had a weed thing. And that just stops it. Like, Owen Wilson goes to this massive rant about you, and he's going to wait till he sees another side to me and blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't go anywhere. There seems to be like a lot of like these avenues and dialogue. And is it meant to be too clever? I don't know. There's just a lot of things don't really get closed off in parts of the movie.
And I mentioned Dumb and Dumber just because it's kind of just a little bit before this movie, isn't it? A couple of years before. I'm sure it was 94. And the parallels to this are, you know, in the middle of that movie, there is a conflict, you know, and it only lasts for a few minutes, you know, but they basically have an argument and they split off. I don't know if you remember, but that's the bit where he comes back with the little bike and he's like, hey, and one of the greatest lines ever, just when I think you can't get any dumber, you do something like this and totally redeem yourself. Said that so many times, Chris. But I kind of feel like, I don't think the script is a copy, but it's that same kind of narrative flow where our main protagonist, because Bob's kind of like, he's just there, isn't he? He's like the third wheel. It's mostly about the Owen brothers. And they've kind of had that conflict and kind of split off. But by this point in the movie, I'm not really into their characters. I'm not really pulling for them. I don't particularly like them. You know, I mean, Dignan, you know, it just seems like an utter bell end. Like, for me, there's not, even though it's Owen Wilson and in 99% of his characters, you know, there's something likable about him. I just don't feel like he's very likable. And I don't think he is supposed to be massively likable. But, you know, Owen Wilson as well, I should call him by their character's name. So Anthony, you know, so Anthony, I just don't find him particularly likable. You know, again, this whole thing, it wasn't clear to me, you know, had he really had this kind of mental breakdown or was he just a massive fucking layabout? You know, wasn't clear to me that bit.
No, it wasn't. And I think when we get the time lapse and obviously Dignan then finds Anthony, they reconcile. And from nowhere, he brings him along onto a heist to see, we've James Caan's character, like Mr. Henry, who's playing table tennis and there's loads of people around him. And he's like supposed to be some like, is he supposed to be like a gangster or something? But Anthony just accepts it and just goes, oh, fuck it, let's go. Yeah, I'm back in the game. It's like, well, you fell out because you fucked up the money. He punched you in the nose in the middle of the desert. And now you're just so forgiving. I couldn't work that out. I kept thinking, I've missed something here. How has he just gone back in with him and now he's accepting he's going to go on a heist with him again? It's bizarre. It's bizarre, that bit. And I think when you look at, like, James Caan's character, I'm not really convinced by him. He looks like someone's granddad who's still trying to be hip. You know what I mean? Got, like, fucking Simon Cowell fucking pants on. I know... There's no, like, fear. It's not like he's playing Sonny fucking Corleone again, is it? Or, you know, even, you know, he's not, he just looks like some weird fucking Gary Glitter who's got a load of young boys around him playing table tennis. But
do you not think that about James Caan anyway? I think basically there's nothing intimidating for me about him at all. You sort of look at him. But is it because, you know, they're reliant on you of having seen Godfather and thinking, oh, fucking James Caan, he's Sonny, and he, you know, he's a mafiosa, he's fucking nails. But I don't know, because I'd only watched Godfather, you know, in fairly recent years for the first time, so I didn't have that baggage. Right, and I don't get him as the hard man. I just don't think he pulls it off at all. So I am with you there.
Yeah, it's weird. I think I'm sure he was up for playing Rocky, you know, Dave, with Burt Reynolds at one point. I'm sure, or there was some discussion. Obviously, Stallone was never going to give it up, but there was stuff like that. But then, look, you said about Godfather. I know it was my pick, wasn't it, when we picked the Godfather? But I remember I've only just watched Elf this last Christmas gone, and he's his dad, isn't he? But his dad, isn't he? In that, you know, maybe a bit like that.
That makes more sense to me, you know, like some corporate guy or something, you know, some pencil pusher or something. You know, that for me is when I see him visually, you know, because that's what the casting directors do, don't they? It's how someone looks and do they fit into that stereotypical type character. But that is I can't believe you've only just watched Elf. Fucking love that movie.
Great movie. So it's a great movie. I loved it last year. We'd never watched it. And it was on, you know, like something, like you said, it just goes over your head, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Movie. But then again, James Caan, one of his best performances is Misery. Now that is a fucking movie. That is a movie. That is a great movie. So yeah, it's just strange. And I think, like, as we get to sort of like the end of the movie, my interest was just waning. I'm sorry, Justin, as well, by the way, I already picked this, but I was just like, I just want it to end, you know. And did you notice as well, Dave? I didn't realize this till afterwards, but you know, the dickhead who turns up and gives him shit about the lawnmower company, that's actually their older brother. Andrew Wilson is a director, so he's actually the future man. He's one who comes and gives him shit and then starts laughing. But yeah, he's a director as well. But I didn't even know they had an older brother till I was researching this day.
Me neither.
Yeah, so that's him apparently. But yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, it just sort of ends. I mean, when Dignan like runs from the cops and they're on this heist and he's like trying to get into like, he ends up going to all these refrigerated things in restaurants and that. I was sort of thinking, he's going to get away here. We're going to get some sort of slapstick. You know, the coppers are going to put like the handcuffs on each other and that. And they don't. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to think about this. You know, and he ends up in jail, doesn't he? I don't know. I didn't get what was the point. And like you said, I think because you're not really invested in the characters, no one's really likable and for the wrong reasons. But I think you have hit upon something that this is probably a Dumb and Dumber ripoff. That is so true, because I've only watched it the once, and I think you're correct. I think they were hoping this would be like this absolute comedy masterpiece, and for me, it's just not. It just doesn't hit for me at all. It's way off anything that I'd enjoy.
Well, obviously, like I say, Justin had picked this, so obviously there's at least one person who loves it, but I can genuinely see something in it that has that real independent movie. I mean, I don't think you've watched too much Kevin Smith, have you? But that's, you know, at some point we'll have to do Clerks, but I don't want to pick it because I kind of feel like you'll shit on it. It's a great movie, but it has that kind of slow indie movie feel to it. But yeah, this one, I think it's one of those that, you know, had I watched this in 96, and it's kind of a slow movie, isn't it? You know, I can imagine being knackered and just kind of melting into the sofa and then kind of watching this and just going along with it. You know, it's fairly slow pace. It's not laugh out loud hilarious, but there are some kind of semi amusing moments in it. So I think I'd have warmed to this without loving it, but watching it for the first time in 2023, it just doesn't land for me at all. But I mean, the fact that it does have this kind of little cult following, doesn't it? You know, so lots and lots of people have probably discovered this on video, because they certainly didn't go to the cinema and watch it. And you know, it resonates with them for some reason. Maybe they see themselves as the kind of Dignan character or the Anthony character, or, you know, maybe even Bob. You know, there's something that resonates with people. And I think the love story is kind of, you know, a bit sweet, even though it's almost like fucking porn parody stuff. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those, isn't it? We've just got two perspectives, two mates just talking about a movie, and, you know, people kind of listening, you know, hopefully feel part of the conversation as well. It's almost a shame when you haven't got that perspective, that opposing view that is like, well, no, these are all the things that I loved about it. And like I say, I suspect the visual aspect to it, I could see there was something in there that, you know, people might really like real fucking, but film students, Chris, I imagine, might watch this and think, oh yeah, the way that moves and everything. I like their little checklist initially, say, as an example, when they get on the bus, you know, and kind of the way the camera's sort of right on them in front, and then he's got his little checklist there, his 75-year plan and whatever. There's just something about it that worked for me there.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, a film student, Dave. We've got a review later that you're going to read out, aren't we?
I don't think that was. So rarely, most of our best, worst reviews of film students. But,
I don't know whether they are, but anyway.
Yeah, we do have another corker later on.
It's a fucking belter. Anyway, shall we get into our scores, Dave?
Let's go.
So thank you again, Justin, for picking this. I'm so sorry. If you've got the Chris Phelps voodoo doll, I feel as if someone is hitting me in my shoulder. I feel pain now. I do apologize, but it just didn't hit for me. I hoped it would. I was sort of really enthusiastic off the trailer last week, thinking, oh, this is going to be it. But I just didn't get what the film was about. I think the Dumb and Dumber reference is a great spot, Dave. It's not got that in-your-face comedy moments. I don't think there's any comedy moments that really hit for me, but it just feels like it's Owen Wilson's sort of vehicle. And it obviously helped because he became, you know, a massive success, still acting since he's still a success, you know, in different movies. I've enjoyed it. Marley and Me, Dave, is one of the worst movies you can ever watch him in with Jennifer Aniston. Have you ever seen that one about the dog?
Oh, I mean, it's got Jennifer Aniston in, so at least that would rescue it from.
I was going to say
the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, well, she doesn't believe in top underwear, Dave, which allegedly is always a good thing with Jennifer Aniston. If you watch Friends, you know exactly what I mean. It's very cool. But I wish that I'd enjoyed it, and I just didn't. It's not terrible, but it's just one of the movies where I'm like, I will never watch this again. And if someone said, have you ever heard of Bottle Rocket? I'd be like, don't watch it. But I can also understand why people do watch it. And if you watched it around its release, then it may be more relevant and current and everything. So I'm going to put it in Elm Street, Dave. It's not a great movie, and 90 minutes is fucking just enough for me. So what about yourself?
We've given a fairly polarizing conversation, I think. You know, we're both pretty much in the same spot, I think, you know, in terms of it just didn't land for us. But Chris, on Rotten Tomatoes, from 71 critics, it gets 86%.
Yeah.
From the audience score, it gets 79%. And that's from over 50,000 ratings. So you think 40,000 people absolutely love this. Although, well, maybe they don't absolutely love it, but, you know, do they like it or do they not like it in that binary way that Rotten Tomatoes does it, you know, they've liked it. So there's just something about this movie that just resonates with the majority of people, just not us. So in terms of, you know, if someone was to say, should I watch it? I've never seen this. I think I would say, yeah, watch it. Because, you know, it's the Owen brothers, you know, it's the first time they were on screen. You can see how, you know, more so Owen Wilson, where he's kind of come from. And, you know, it's Wes Anderson's. This whole thing spun out of a short movie, A Bottle Rocket, didn't it? You know, they put that together and then it got picked up for the full movie. So I think it's worth a watch, even though it didn't land for me. But, you know, clearly numbers game, you'd say, well, it resonates with a lot of people. We just didn't see it. Or maybe this is all people with that nostalgia, you know, for people who watched it back in the day and they loved it because in the mid-90s, you know, it fit in that context, you know, weirdly, when everyone else had curtains, Owen Wilson is the only one with short hair. But, yeah, so for me, it's an Elm Street as well. I think it's not so bad that you would want to send it off to Alderaan. I think, like I say, for me, one of the best things. Well, actually, I think there's two things that stand out. The visual aspect to it, and also, you know, the Owen brothers, you know, their kind of debut to it all as well. And it's funny that, you know, I guess you watch this and you're thinking, well, you know, Luke Wilson, he's going to be the star, you know, because he's the main protagonist. So he will probably go on to do bigger and better things. Whereas, you know, he's really been in the shadow of his brother, you know, for years, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true. And I think that's a good way to sum the movie up, Dave, to be fair. But now, Dave, for something completely different, if I can get my words out. Now, you've made me very aware, and I appreciate this little nudge, what movie I am going to pick for my pick. And with it being Halloween season, Dave, and with me loving horror movies so fucking not, what a way to go into it. But anyway, I've got a movie, Dave, for you that you've not seen. Now, we did Stephen King movie the other week, didn't we? Was it Sleepwalkers a couple of weeks ago? And that was a terrible adaptation of one of his books. Now, this is an adaptation of one of his books, which Stephen King actually says, Dave, he got bored of when watching it. So that's not always a great thing. But I remember watching this as a kid. It's from 1983. And the director, Dave, is Mr. John Carpenter. So,
oh, wow.
It does star people, but the main star of this movie, the main star of this movie, Dave, is a 1958 red Plymouth Fury car. Now, I watched this and loving car films, thinking, right, and it was a toss-up between this and Maximum Overdrive or even Duel, three Stephen King movies that, you know, I loved. They all involved vehicles and cars and that. But I've gone for this because I remember watching it and thinking, holy shit, this is fucking scary. So we are going back to 83, Dave. He's actually set in the 50s, but it is called Christine. So let's get into our trailer.
Let's go.
You've never seen this, Dave, have you?
I'll hold off.
Johnny, you ever owned a car before?
No. I just got my license.
I don't remember anything about it.
I thought the idea was just brilliant, even though I don't like horror movies.
My name's Christine.
That's like you don't like sci-fi.
I like that.
What a hypocrite I am, aren't I? Such a villain. I don't like a style of sci-fi, shall we say.
I saw you guys at the football game. How'd you ever get that car fixed up like that?
Oh, just plain old-fashioned hard work, huh?
Ever since he bought that car, he's been obsessed with it. And you know what else? They told us the man who owned that car last died in it.
What do you know about that car?
I know that the guy who owned the car before Arnie, his daughter choked to death in Christine.
It's that car.
A bit of grease.
I swear it's the car.
That's Gold Christine.
Oh, Jerry.
That's funny, you know, because I heard she was totaled.
Well, after I cleaned up the broken glass, it wasn't so bad.
Not bad effects.
So what if
you
fix it up, you know, and he just comes back and does it again?
He won't do it again.
I mean, I'm either going to love this or think I've watched it with rose-tinted glasses and it's fucking terrible.
Well, it's early 80s. Stephen King adaptation. I don't hold out many high hopes.
No.
I'm sure my daughter's mentioned this one to me, though.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
I don't think I have seen this.
No. I've seen this twice, I think, Dave, and I've not watched it for got to be 25 years. Got to be. It's always one I enjoyed, you know, when I watched it. I didn't think I would.
Oh, you know what? It's just giving me an idea. It's got that John Carpenter sort of soundtrack to it, hasn't it?
Soundtrack's one of the main things everyone raves about.
Right.
The score and everything's supposed to be brilliant.
You know, I was leaving I wasn't sure if I'd seen this or not, but I'm going to say I don't think I have. I've seen another. I'd copied something off the TV, a Stephen King movie, but I seem to remember it was like a truck, like a sentient truck or something like that. So it's not this one, but when it came up, I was like, oh, maybe I have seen this one, but no, definitely haven't.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to what you think as well. Just to go back watching it, it's been, like I said, it's been years since I've watched this. So it wasn't one I've watched regularly. I think twice I've watched it, but I did enjoy it and I was quite blown away by it at the time. I don't know why I ended up watching any Stephen King movies. I don't know if it's like a late night BBC Two or Channel Four type, because we were never on BBC One or ITV, but it was this, like say, Maximum Overdrive, Duel. Duel's a cracking movie. Have you seen that one, day where the truck's chasing that bloke? It's like a salesman across America.
I wonder if it's that one that I'm thinking of.
It's a great movie, that. I'm probably going to drop a bollock there because Christine is more Halloween, and I probably think, I wish up. And it isn't a Halloween movie, but yeah, we're going with this one, Dave.
I suspect it's not that scary. I suspect, you know, when you'd watch this at the time, it felt it, but Yeah, let's see, Chris, but good pick. But Chris, before we get into our thanks and everything, we do have a review. Actually, you know what? We've got two, weirdly, but, but I'm going to pick on a certain one first. So, Chris, we always say, you know, we love the five-star reviews. It gets us up in the charts. It gets us into more people's ears, so it's great. But obviously, you know, if you have a different opinion, then drop us a different review because we kind of like those as well. And Chris, this one is a 2-star review, 2 out of 5, and it says, very pretentious. It says, we get it. You hate everything. Why do you have a podcast again? And that is from Nicola Ann 89. And so she obviously didn't, we didn't resonate with her, it doesn't seem. But I'm always intrigued, Chris, because I always think, what other type of reviews has this handle kind of left other people? And so I was brought to, what's this podcast called? So the Cruel Summer podcast is another one where they felt they should leave a review for. And this one is a 1-star review. So this actually gave, you know, we did better than that one. And it says, please, no guests in season 2. It says, I loved episodes 1 to 9, but the finale discussion was ruined by your guest. So it kind of implies that, well, it doesn't sound like a 1-star review to me. You know, it's like, I loved it, just didn't like the last episode, so this is all shit. Like, that was one. And then there was also Vanderpump Robs. So she'd also now given that one 3 stars. So season 10, most of season 10's episode are labeled incorrectly, but an okay podcast otherwise.
What do you do?
Interesting. Well, thank you for going out of your way there. This one, what is this podcast? So interestingly, Chris, potentially a person who has some weird taste like us, because this is F-Boy Island podcast.
Ah.
And this is also 2-star review. It says, vocal fry overkill. The host's voice is excruciating. You literally fucking logged on and you to just abuse this bloke who's doing this in his spare time.
For free, yeah. For free.
It's like putting out this free content and you've just, you know, it's a low blow, that one, isn't it? Just taking the piss. I mean, it's literally, he might not be a good looking bloke, you know, I say that's why I don't do a YouTube, you know, do a podcast, got a face for radio. But interestingly, Chris, and this is the last one I'll go through. For the Songtopsy Report podcast, she gives 5-star reviews. And it says, my favorite men on the internet. I love these idiots. They keep me smiling. I thought, are you part of that podcast? Or are you somehow affiliated with that podcast? It just seems weird because everything else is troll-like. But, you know, this one, oh, fucking brilliant. So I am going to listen. I'll see what that podcast sounds like. But Chris, I there was a good one as well. So flip side of the coin, this one says, more than just Pleasantville, this is retro gold. And this is a 5-star review. And it says, absolutely love this podcast. The hosts reminisce about the good old movies and occasional shockers of years gone by, each one taking me back to fond memories of my younger years, most of which involved around many hours spent loitering around the VHS stores, talking myself into approaching the counter, hoping that as a 15-year-old, I would get served an 18-rated video. Great rapport between these two. Which one would expect, considering the years they've known one another? If you are looking for objective, Mark Kermode-esque critiquing, then go and read the Guardian newspaper film reviews, or the BBC for that matter. This is exactly what it says on the tin. Nostalgia revisited in its simplest format. It works, and it's great fun. Now, Chris, I do love that one as well. I love the ones
that... Yeah, thank you.
But, I mean, in terms of... someone who gets it. You know, that I couldn't have written that better myself, and promise I didn't. That was from Gaz908. But I really appreciate that one, Gaz. That's kind of what we love about it, don't we? Because we have all these different podcasts and these different dead podcasts that we've experimented with over the years. But it's just, obviously the film is a vehicle, but, you know, the taking us back, you know, not quite via the DeLorean, but, you know, just through our minds back to those times of watching it as kids and stuff. I love it. And so, yeah, no, I appreciate it when we get feedback like that.
No, it's good. Even the suspect one, that's when you do stuff like this, you're open to criticism. Our most proudest moment on the CD Reality Cast podcast is when we actually got a 1 out of 5 review because we don't understand women. And it was like, yep, I fucking don't. I'm 44. I have got no intention of trying to understand women. I've been married to a lovely one for 25 years. Still haven't got a fucking clue what's going on, Dave. But there you go. So I see where that's a reverse actual review. So when we got the one, I take that's a 5 out of 5, Dave, because I have not got a clue about women at all, and I don't really care.
There you go. Respecting that reviewer doesn't understand men either. But anyway, yeah. Chris, thank you very much, sir. So, have we got people to thank?
We have, Dave, yes, because I know exactly what you were trying to do then. So anyway, big thank you to everybody. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @VHSStrikesBack. As always, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour, and a massive thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon, past and present. We really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for all your support and all the comments. It's such good fun. I did get tagged, Dave, by Mr. John Hammond and Mr. Spider Dan regarding a copy of Showgirls that Spider Dan has got, and said, "We know a man who's watched this over and over, Dave." That is a disgrace, but I did buy the VHS box of that because it had Elizabeth Thingy in it out of Saved by the Bell, Jesse in Saved by the Bell. Yeah. Yeah. And what I did, Dave, when the Chris Phelps, only Chris Phelps way, I had the VHS trick of, as you know, fast forwarding it just past the sex scenes and nobody would know.
Oh, not the fucking pool scene, surely.
No, the one when she does the lap dance for Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, right.
Well, for the girl, and he's watching and she's dry humping her. Elizabeth Berkeley, that's her name. But however, I did buy this, Dave. And what I did was, shocker, I bought it on the side. I took the video out of the box so that none of my brothers or sisters or anybody or my mum and dad would come across this. And then I put it in a basic VHS, Dave, and put stickers over it like I taped fucking Coronation Street or something, and threw the rest of it away. And it was my go-to machine of interest around that, and Basic Instinct, Dave, and Sliver as well. There was bits of Sliver that I did enjoy with William Baldwin and Sharon Stone, but there you go. Anyway, those were the days. So yes, I did get tagged in that. My reputation precedes me, my friend. Anyway, Dave, I've talked enough to say, what are you going to take us out with today?
Yeah, I'm looking through the quotes, Chris.
Well, this one, which is quite apt with somebody in the fucking the news, but I'm not actually going to say it because it'll probably fucking not make sense. But it's what Dignan says. They'll never catch me because I'm fucking innocent, Dave. But, you know, I don't know whether they are. Well, there you go. That's all I'll say. Allegedly.
Yeah.
There's nothing. The quotes are pretty terrible, aren't they? If only they knew 27 years later that a podcast would use quotes out of their movies, they'd fucking give us something.
Put some good ones in.
Yeah. The fucking wankers.
Yeah. Chris, I'm going to choose a quote that is a little interaction between Bob and Dignan. And I think it to me, it's sort of semi-amusing, and that's the way the jokes kind of went in this movie. But Bob says, "Why is there tape on your nose?" Dignan says, "Exactly." I'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now?
What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Oh!
we go.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. No, it's not. That would have been good, wouldn't it, if you not picked up on that, right? What a knobhead. Right, here we go. Let me go again. They'll be all like, what the fuck is this?
You know, it didn't even register. I'm glad you picked up on it because I didn't.
What a fucking bell end. Right, here we go.